Take my whole life to cause I can't help falling in love with you. Amen. Good morning. And it's wonderful to be with you this morning. And our time is almost done, but it's not. I so love that the Lord has called us into just time of waiting on Him. I've so many times seen in worship is actually always just a step away. And there's this almost nervousness in me that every time we stop worship, if we maybe just took one step forward, where we could have landed. And I appreciate times we can just wait on Him. Wait on Him. I feel like the Lord this morning has planted a seed of a violent hunger in you. And this seed will grow to become a mighty oak. And from afar your hunger will be seen. And rumors of hunger will spread. Like the Queen of Sheba came to the house of Solomon to look at the wisdom displayed. So people will come to see the hunger. And it's a seed that He plants. And He planted it today. And I hear the Lord saying that seed is called violent hunger. A fierce hunger. Father, I want to pray over that seed today. That it will grow to become a sign and a wonder in the earth. In Jesus' name. I have a team with me, and Bobby felt some prophetic words, a word for the church, and he felt a word for a couple, and I just want him to come and share that, and I'll minister from there.
Morning, everyone. I wonder if we can quickly just close our eyes. Father, what an honor it is, Lord, that we can come into your presence, Father, and just glorify your name. Make great your name, Father God. Because it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. Sorry, my phone's busy beeping here in my pocket. On Thursday night already, I had this vision of this huge dam wall. And through the dam wall, there was this little looking glass, you know, that's on the side of a ship. But I don't really know what the word is. But you got this little window, and right next to this window, I saw this crack start forming. And there's water starting to squirt through. And squirt through and squirt through. And as I was looking more, I saw this crack start widening. And obviously with the pressure, the force of the water that comes through is immense. And all of a sudden I saw that dam wall break. And there was a flood. And I felt the Lord saying, that what you have already seen is but the crack that is starting to happen. It is coming with the pressure. And God says, I'm starting to reveal it slowly and slowly and slowly. But you're at the threshold where that crack is going to break. And I'm going to send in a flood of my spirit. And I'm going to wash everything that is in its path. And I felt God saying, don't even try and hang on to the branches. Rather just get swept away. Because the branches are the things that are rooted in the things that I do not want. I want to bring about something new in this place, and I'm going to start raising the standard in this house, God says. And God says it's going to be a steady flow, but it's going to be a violent flow. That those who step into it will be swept by my spirit. And I feel God saying, if you release and let go and take hold of what I've got and the vision that I've placed on this place, I will begin showing you and revealing and manifesting the very promises that I have spoken. Because this will be known as well as a house of prayer. This will be known as well as a lighthouse on top of the hill, declaring my glory, says God. And this flood will continue to flow as you continue to push into me and as you continue to seek my face. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. And I just felt for Michael. I don't know your fiance's name. Lisa. Just while I was praying, I had such a sense of, Michael, that you're like a David. Because you've got God's heart. And Lisa, I saw you standing next to him as Esther. Because he's got your ear. Okay, I got the sense of when you step into him, when you start praying, God silences his courts. Just as the king did with Esther, and he gives you his full attention. And I know that with you guys coming together, I saw God showed me as you came together that there were swords coming out of your mouths. That it was the word of God that he was planting. And with Michael, I've seen you, there's such a discernment in what God is doing. But God is saying, remain teachable in what I'm trying to show you. And those words that you will speak will bring about what they've purposed. With Lisa, I see you, there's such a discernment of God. Such a discernment. And together is going to bring such a powerful prophetic voice. Because God is going to reveal to you in those quiet times, God's going to reveal to you the plans of the enemy. And Michael, you're going to speak against those plans by the Spirit of God. And I see that this time is going to be a time of rest, but also a time of promotion within his spirit. And God says, I've drawn you close and I've intertwined you. And as you become one, when you stand on that day, it's not going to be a single strand, but I saw two strands. And that strand was the strand of you and the strand of the Holy Spirit that's intertwined within you. And tied at both ends was God and Jesus. And I just felt such an anointing on you that God is going to start releasing. But it's going to take standing there in his presence and sometimes being quiet and listening. Being quiet and listening. Because he hears your prayers. He does hear your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for those words. Thank you, Lord. Bobs, I'm so proud of you, man. That's beautiful words. Thank you for just releasing that grace and that gift over this house. And thank you for that. Amen. So I'm wrestling what to do with my time that's left. I'll minister over, thank you, gracious. I saw in the spirit a hearing aid that's been fine-tuned. And I felt like the word Bobby gave you, I felt like the Lord is calling you to be a house of prayer. And I know that prayer is one of our values, but the Lord is really calling you into a season of prayer. There's something about prayer and hearing and the connection with the heart of God. The Lord wants to bring you into something more of that. And there's a tuning of the ear that's happening in this season of this church's journey. A tuning of the ear. But the finger that tunes the ear is called prayer. Prayer. And I feel like the Lord is calling you into extended times of praying and praying. He's really, really wanting to raise you up as a house of prayer unto the nations of the earth. And it's very clear since I came that the Lord's been resonating this in my spirit, that he wants to speak from the high place. The Lord wants to speak from the high place. He wants to speak from you into the nations. He wants to speak from you into movements. He wants to speak from you into households, families, and churches. God wants to speak. And therefore there's a tuning of the ear to the rhythm of heaven, to the frequency of heaven, and to the voice of the Father. Prayer. And I feel with that is that prayer will give birth to something of an intimacy that you have touched but not walked in. You felt the vibrations of it. You could taste it at times. You could feel its rhythm. But I feel like the Lord is inviting you into a greater arena of intimacy, in a greater season of intimacy. But what will unlock this grace is prayer. feel prayer. The Lord is calling you to pray. And He's going to teach this house how to pray. You'll feel a fresh emphasis from the heart of the Father on this prayer thing. And the desire within your hearts to pray, you will awaken it in a great way in this day. And I'm not saying this, please hear me. I know you, as a church, I know you pray. But what I'm speaking of here is something totally beyond what you've been doing. It's really calling you to the place of consecration and prayer. What I'm sensing in my heart, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you as a church, it's actually a crucial time for you. I know you are experiencing the grace of the Lord, but you are in a very crucial, a specific fragment of time in God's journey with you. And so the Lord is highlighting this sensitivity to the voice of God. Amen. That's a prayer. The more. I want to minister to you today. Just I felt it in worship. And can I sing to you? What's your name? Vainan. Lekker man. Sit your honest from Vainan. I don't think you'll ever be the same after this morning. God is shifting something in your innermost being, and there's a touch of grace on your life that you might not notice today, but you'll notice it months and years to come. You'll point it back. The Lord is shifting something in you, and I just want to sing His heart over you today, and if I can. And can you maybe lift Michelle a bit on the piano for me, please? And I want you in my arms. Oh, I want you in my arms. I want you in my arms. Son, I want you in my arms. Feel the rhythm of my heart, just like John did. 'Cause I want to reveal deeper things to you in the place of intimacy. And son, I am going to wake up the depths of you, 'cause son, you are called and anointed. And I'm going to wake up a desire for the ministry in you. 'Cause son, I have called your name since the day you were born. Oh, I love you. Son, I really love you. 'Cause my love has been fighting for you. I've rescued you from dark, dark places. Son, you're my son. Oh, the apple of my eye. And through your life, the radiance of my glory will shine. 'Cause I even have nations in mind for you. I even have nations in mind for you. You do not see what I have. this Father's eyes, you are great. And I love to be your father. I always am. I love to be with you. I love to look at you. I love to be your father. It's the best thing I can do. I want you in my arms, says the Lord. And your heart will melt in the months to come. It will melt in my hands. For I am raising up a spirit of David in you. Son, you will be a man after my heart. And I'm going to do gonna go to those places that no one sees. Gonna touch those places that no one touches. Son, I'm gonna bring you into the fullness. Let me end today by saying to you, the words that's on my heart, and I hope you hear just what I say. I hope you really hear that I love to be your father most of all. I just love to be your father. And you're my son, and I love to be your father. So this is the Father's song that I'm singing over you. I'm going to do a deep, deep work in you. You're worthy, so worthy. So worthy to be loved. You're worthy. So worthy to be loved, says the Lord. Amen. And so I'm going to share in 5 minutes. Not what I wanted to share, but just touch on something I wanted to share with you. I felt this morning as I was praying for this congregation. And I'll keep it very simple, practical. I want to speak on the place of prayer. Prayer. And that's how you cultivate an environment of hearing the Lord. When you look at the Gospels, it's plain to see you find a connection between the prayer life of Jesus and the will of the Father being administrated into the earth. In other words, when you look at what Jesus accomplished in the 3 years that he was ministering in the earth, you can point it right back to his prayer life with the Father. So there's something about prayer and the release of the kingdom of God in the earth. And I was reminded this morning as I was praying of Matthew 6. And I'm not going to put the verses on. We don't have time, but to speak to you about Matthew 6, where Jesus speaks about prayer. And he's saying, when you pray, notice, not it's a good idea. When you pray, and I'll unpack this a little bit. When you pray, go into your inner room, close the door where there's no distractions, and pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And then he started unpacking the prayer. The same prayer he taught them in Luke 11. And in Luke 11, what's happening there is Jesus is praying in a certain place. In other words, his disciples is looking at him praying. Jesus always went alone. to pray. And he always went to a quiet place to pray. And when you do a study on the prayer life of Jesus, you will see that he prayed mornings and evenings. Most probably other times as well, but it's evident in scriptures. You see, early mornings, when they woke up, he was already in a quiet place praying. Late at night, when the disciples went to sleep, he would go to a quiet place to pray. Luke 11, this is what happened. They see Jesus praying. And as he comes out of that place of prayer, the disciples corner him and they say, "Teach us how to pray." And here's the thing. They were Jews. They grew up within an environment of religious prayer. The Jews prayed morning, noon, and evening. And they had certain prayers that they prayed at those times. They had a culture of prayer. But what they saw Jesus doing, they've never seen before. And they connected those times with the administration or the demonstration of the power of God. And so they say, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Do you know what they actually are saying to him? They are saying to him, "Jesus, we want your prayer life more than anything. You have to start praying. Jesus, I want your prayer life more than anything. I want your prayer life more than anything." There's a quote that says, "Prayerlessness is the first sign of prideful independence." Prayerlessness says we can do it without you. We don't need you. That is what prayerlessness is. We will lean into our own understanding. We will lean into our own efforts. We will lean into our own abilities. "Jesus, we don't need you." That's prayerlessness. It's the first sign of prideful independence. You may not see it, but when the intensity of prayer goes down, you may not see it at first, but it's really the first sign of death. Prayerlessness is the first sign of prideful independence. "Jesus, we can do it without you." And let me tell you, when there's a revelation of the grace of Jesus, the grace of God, and that we are all held together by grace, and it's a work of mercy, beloved, you will pray. You know that Paul says, everything is upheld by the power of his word, and he's speaking about Jesus. In other words, he is saying, when Jesus stops speaking, everything dies. This church, this movement is held together by grace. You see, the point of prayer, listen closely to this. The point of prayer is not to release power. The point of prayer is not to release power, it's to reveal a person. Prayer connects us with the heart of the person. It connects us with the mind of the person. It connects us with the will of the person. Prayer. We're not praying to see the power of God. Firstly, we're praying so that the person of Christ, the nature of God, the mind of God, the will of God will be revealed in our midst. That's what prayer does. It opens a portal to the heart and the mind of the eternal. Prayer. And I'm looking at the Gospels, and this is really where the Lord started speaking to me about prayer. I'm looking at the Gospels, and I'm seeing God Himself praying morning, night. I mean, He took the whole night to pray before He called His 12. This is not merely a man praying and contending with God. This is God saying to us, "I can't live without praying to God." Can you imagine the disciples looking at Jesus, praying and spending time with his Father? You're not seeing a man spending time with God. You are seeing God spending time with God. They had a glimpse into what Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit has been doing for all eternity. That's the frame. That's the picture. You know that you are sitting here because Jesus prayed for you. And even now, today, He's praying for you. There's an eternal priesthood in Christ. He is living to make intercession for us for all eternity. In other words, if you had the curtain pulled back before the throne of God right now, you will find Jesus praying for you. Praying for you. Remember when Peter was, Jesus came to Peter and He said, Satan came and he asked me, can I sift you? Can I sift Peter? And then Jesus said to Peter, so I'm praying for you. In other words, what He's saying, I'm going to allow Satan to sift you a bit, Peter. But it will be okay. You know why? Because I'm praying for you. And you may go through a hard season at this, in this patch of time, and things are hard. I want you to remember one thing today, that you're not alone. That there is a man standing before the throne of God today, and He's calling your name. And He's saying, Father, have mercy. You are not alone in your pain. You are not alone in your struggle. No, you have an intercessor before the throne of heaven. And He's saying, Father, save. Father, have mercy. Father, bring a breakthrough. Father, save. Father, redeem. Father, heal. And He's calling His church to that place. You know what was so amazing? When Jesus came into the city, you know, when they sang the hosannas, when they sang the hosannas, they threw the palm branches, they didn't have a revelation of the internal salvation of Israel. They simply thought Jesus was going to turn to the Roman court and He's going to overthrow them, and He's going to establish the reign of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people again in Jerusalem. That's why they were excited. They were singing Hosanna, because this is the king that's going to save them from Rome. But Jesus makes an interesting turn. He doesn't turn to the Roman court. He turns to the temple. And I'm thinking those who were singing must have thought, this is not working the way we thought it would work. And so Jesus goes into the temple, and He doesn't go into that temple to pray. He starts overturning tables, made a whip. He said, you're making my Father's house a robber's den, when it was meant to be a house of prayer. You know what's interesting about that story? By that time, when Jesus is overthrowing tables, all those who were singing Hosanna left. There was no one left. Listen to this. Except the children. They were still singing what they were singing when He came in. Those who had nothing to gain, no understanding, and I'm starting to see something like only a child's hands can hold wonder. When you've lost a childlike heart, you've lost your ability to hold wonder. Your eyes have grown dim. House of prayer for all nations. That was Jesus. Jesus was a house of prayer. So I'm going to conclude what I want to share by giving you a practical unpacking of Matthew 6 a little bit, and maybe encourage you to pray. And more than that, maybe get you so excited that you start pursuing this thing daily. So what is the secret place? And I'm going to be very practical and very simple for the next 4 or 5 minutes. What is the secret place? The secret place is 4 things. It's a quiet hour, a quiet place, an open heart, and an open Bible. That's simple. Huh? What is the secret place? It's a quiet hour. It doesn't have to be an hour. I'm just using that because it sounds nice. It can be 30 minutes. It can be 10 minutes. It's a quiet hour, a quiet place, an open heart, an open Bible. It's that simple. And what do you do with that open Bible? Most people, Monet and I spoke about this yesterday. Most young people I journey with is like, I want to pray, but I don't know how to pray. You know that when Paul speaks about prayer, he makes a distinction between praying and supplication. He's saying pray with all kinds of prayers and with supplication. So it's an add-on. So what is supplication? Supplication is praying or asking out of your need. So Paul makes a distinction between praying and asking. But what most of us has done is, in our understanding of prayer, if we really get it down to the core, it's that place where we ask the Lord for stuff, or we contend for the breakthrough. And that's good. But it's just scratching the surface of what prayer is supposed to be in the house of prayer. So Paul says all kinds of prayers. I wonder if I would ask you, how many prayers do you think you can pray? Paul says all kinds of prayers. And it may be wise if you do a study on this. See if you can find different prayers, because it will inspire your heart. So when you go into this quiet hour, in this quiet place, this open heart and this open Bible, how do you pursue prayer if you don't really know how to pray? I'm going to give you a little model that I use, and it's simple. And I wish I had time to really unpack a lot of these things, but it's a simple thing. All the young men I'm walking with, I'm teaching this little model when it comes to always pray from Scripture. Scripture should be foundational in your prayer life. It should be right there in the center. Scripture should be in the center of it, of your prayer life. The more Scripture you can pray, the better. So when you pray Scripture, what does it look like? How does the secret place look like when you pray? It's simple. If you will remember this. Pray, read, pray, talk, write, meditate. So what am I saying? Read the verse, pray the verse, talk to God about the verse, wait. Whatever you feel is stirring in your heart, you write it down in your journal, and you contemplate, you think, and you have a conversation with God about that. Simple, isn't it? Read, pray. So you read the verse, you pray the verse, you talk to God about the verse, you write what's stirring in your heart, and you meditate and contemplate on that. So when you go to your Bible to pray, don't go to passages. If you have an hour, that's wonderful, then you can. But you know what? Limit it to, so I will tell you one of the things I do, because Monet said to me I should start doing this yesterday morning. So this is what I do. Because my time is very limited, I like to go into my secret place, kind of with an idea where I'm going towards with the Lord in the season. And if He wants to redirect me, because I'm in that flow of worship in the Spirit, He can. So I pray in this season as a practical thing, and I'm closing with this. I'm praying two things. I felt the Lord spoke to me about the Holy Spirit, and I felt the Lord speaking to me about Jesus. So what I've done is I've taken 10 verses that speaks of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And I write out the verse. Romans this, Colossians this. I write out the verse. You can take 5 or 10. I take 10. And I write it in my little journal. 10 verses on the Holy Spirit. And then on the other page, I have the 7 I am sayings of Jesus in the book of John. Jesus 7 times said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the life. So I took the 7 I am sayings of Jesus in the book of John. So my prayer time when I go into it, unless the Lord directs otherwise, is I take my little verse, I read it. Oh, the love of the Father is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now I read it. I prayed, Holy Spirit, You pour out the love of the Father into my heart. Then I talk to Him about it. How do You do that? Do You work with my choice? Is it when I worship? Do You want me to spend more time with? How can I have more of the Father's love? And then He says to me, create more times to wait on Him. So I write it down. Wait on the Lord if you want to be filled with His love. And so I write that, and now I'm contemplating, waiting, etc. All right? So what I'm doing with John, with Jesus, I am the great shepherd. Or the good shepherd. I read Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. I pray, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. Why do you call yourself the good shepherd, Jesus? Why do you use that word, best, greatest? Does it mean there's more shepherds? Are you the only one? And then he speaks something, and I write it over that verse. I just write it over that verse. And so the next time when I come back into my prayer life the next day, I take that same thing. I go through the same, I am the good shepherd. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. But then there's revelation, and I start praying from what the Lord has been showing me. And so you know what? This is just a simple thing. I'm not saying you should do it this way. But I'm trying to maybe encourage you to prayer life. It's as simple as this. A quiet hour, a quiet place, an open heart, an open Bible. How do you approach your Bible in the place of prayer? You build specific. You read. You pray. You talk. You write. You meditate. And that will nurture your prayer life with God. It will give you language. It will give you language. It will give you understanding if you stay to this. So a good thing to do is to do a study on prayer. Get 5 verses in the New Testament that speaks of prayer. Write them in your little journal. Read that verse, pray that verse, talk to God about it, and see what He reveals about prayer and how that will stimulate and encourage your prayer life. So I want to end with this. Jesus didn't have a religious way of praying. That's very obvious from the disciples saying to Him, Jesus, teach us your way of praying. We want your way of praying. So when you think prayer, do you think obligation or invitation? When you think prayer, do you think list or person? Prayer connects you to the heart of God. And that's the point. It reveals Jesus in you. And it will reveal Jesus through you. So I pray that you are so excited that you get your little week calendar out this afternoon. Notice Jesus in Matthew 6 saying, I'm missing a lot of things. I'm just running through it. Matthew says, when you pray. So if you don't plan your prayer life, you won't have a prayer life. Yeah, but I pray in the car here and there. Please do. Paul says, pray continuously. But you have got to have that private place that Jesus is speaking about in Matthew 6. You know, every river starts somewhere. If you don't have the place for the river to start, you won't have the river. You think you will, but you won't. You'll have streams. If you don't plan your prayer life, you won't have a prayer life. What does that mean? Because Jesus says in Matthew 6, when you pray. In other words, you take your week's calendar today and you say, Holy Spirit, just make sure there's good coffee with you when you do this. Good coffee, calendar, Holy Spirit, help me to find that quiet hour where I can spend time with you in prayer. And then you will sit and you'll see, man, I feel the Lord is speaking to me about 5 in the morning. Man, I feel the Lord is speaking to me about like 9 to 10 p.m. I feel like, and then you, what do? You write it in. And you start going into that secret place every day. The quiet hour, the quiet place. You open your heart. You open your Bible with a good cup of coffee. You open your Bible and you talk to Him. And it will revolutionize and change your life. You will never be the same ever again. You want to see a release of the power of the kingdom? Just close the door and start talking to Him. It's that simple. Amen. And so maybe in our closing, I want us to sing a little chorus. Can we do that? What key are you in, Michelle? Can we go to E? So for those who weren't here on Friday night, let me just explain so that there's not maybe a weird offense or something. So I just came from Brazil, and we did a ministry for about 2 weeks into Brazil. And when we just got there, we had a prayer time, and they had like a soaking song at the back. And the guy started singing an old Elvis chorus. And I thought, man, this is weird. But that chorus climbed into my heart. And we started singing that chorus every meeting in Brazil. And I'm singing it every meeting I'm in now. I feel it's a word for the church. I feel it's a word for the church. And Elvis never knew he prophesied a word for the church or wrote a worship song. I don't know, but he wrote a beautiful worship song that we're going to sing as we close today. Take my heart. I've changed one of the words. Take my heart. Take my whole life too. Because I can't help falling in love with you. This beautiful Jesus. Will you just close your eyes where you're sitting? And look upon the most beautiful of heaven. The most majestic, most worthy, most holy one. Just sing this with me twice as we close. Take my heart. Take my whole life too, 'cause I can't help falling in love with you. Just one more time.
Not a one-way conversation. It's a conversation where we speak to the Lord. Can I ask as we close our eyes? And the Lord speaks back. It's a two-way conversation. Maybe you've come into this place this morning and you've got a yearning in your heart to be able to communicate and to speak to the Lord. And the Bible says that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. And there's a longing in your heart this morning for the eternal life and eternal relationship that you can have with Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about that. And I want to give you an opportunity this morning to meet Him through prayer. But in order to do that, you need to act on faith. And there's been something that's been happening in your heart as you've been going through this morning is the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you. He's been touching you. He's been moving you. And there's something in you that wants to respond to that, the moving of the Lord. And the Bible says that when you respond to that moving, that that's faith, and that's a saving faith. And that the Lord wants to take you out of where you find yourself, and He wants to bring you into a place of isolation, a place of slavery, a place of brokenness, and He wants to bring you into a place of healing. And if you've had that feeling this morning, I want you to do a brave thing. If you want to meet Jesus, I want you to raise your hand so that I can pray with you. Is there anyone in this place this morning that you want to have a relationship with a God that loves you, a God that cares for you, and a God that wants to have a relationship with you. I want you to be bold and raise your hand. Thank you. There's one hand that's gone up. Thank you. There's another. Three hands gone up. Four hands. Anyone else? We don't want to let this moment pass. Can I ask that you guys be brave and just stand in your seats where you are right now? Just stand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Just stand. Those people that have raised their hands. Thank you. Can you guys pray after me? The people that are sitting around them, can you just reach out your hands? Just touch them. Can you guys just pray after me? Lord Jesus, let's all pray. Lord Jesus, this morning, you've touched my heart. And I choose this morning to respond to your love. I give you my heart. I give you all that I am. Please come and take away my sin and my brokenness. Replace my hard heart with a soft one. Lead me. I want to walk with you. I want to learn to listen. And I want to learn to have a relationship with you. Baptize me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Just people that are around them, just make sure that we can follow them up. Thank you, Mervis and the team from Cape Town. Lovely time with you guys. Some coffee at the back. And let's become a violent people of prayer. Amen.